was aware of Jeffrey Epstein's predilection for women and you know, his sort of social life. They did fall out. You know, interestingly, Donald Trump, who, you know, is very articulate about a lot of subjects, has not ever really explained why. He has said to, you know, campaign operatives around him, who did say back in 2014 when Virginia Roberts first sort of surfaced with her public claims about Epstein, that that he had severed ties with him when Epstein had come after a daughter of a member of Mar-a-Lago. There is also reportedly a dispute, that, well, there was a dispute between the two men over a piece of real estate near Palm Beach that both men wanted, and that Donald Trump ultimately ended up getting at a bankruptcy auction and then flipped at a massive profit a couple of years later. But he's never actually talked about that in public. He has just said, you know, he's just distanced himself.
We have 10 seconds, but we're going to continue with the post show with you, because it's really critical to talk about what are these files the MAGA base and many Democrats and Republicans have called for releasing. Vicki Ward, longtime investigative journalist, host of the series Chasing Ghislaine.
KBOO Portland.
Ear to the streets. Check out Ear to the Streets of Portland with hosts Sequoina
and Kayla
every first and third Thursday of the month, starting at 7 o'clock p.m.
Listen in as we interview community organizers, speak on issues focused on Black Portland, and share community events happening in the area and elsewhere.
Listen on the radio at 90.7 FM, online at www.kbu.fm, or from your mobile phone at m.kbu.fm.
Follow KBU on Instagram at KBU Radio. Ear to the streets.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. Today is Monday, the 28th of July, 2025. It is approximately 8:01 a.m. I am Cecil Prescott, and I am your host this morning. Our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. Those are numbers in which you can call and are enabled to have conversations with the host and with the audience. So put those numbers down and remember to call when you have something to share, some information that you would like other people to know about. So those numbers again are 503-231-8187. And again, today is Monday, the 28th of July, and we've been off the air for a couple of weeks, and I am glad that I have the opportunity to be in conversation with you all this morning. A lot has been happening in the time we've been away, and there are so many angles in which we could approach things, but I'm wondering if we would have the opportunity to share with one another things that give you hope. In times such as these, hope is sometimes difficult, and I would like to share with you a couple of thoughts or words that people have shared recently that resonates with me. One of those is from the columnist Norman Solomon. Many of KBOO's listeners are familiar with Norman Solomon. And this is a piece he wrote shortly after the election last November. So seven, eight months ago. And it's interesting because my engineer reminded me as we were preparing for the show this morning that with all the ridiculous things that are happening in our world today and just realizing it's only 6 months into this present administration and wow, what a very strange time we are living in. But what is it that gives you hope, and what is it that encourages you in the midst of so much disappointment? And as I mentioned, one of the pieces is from Norman Solomon, which he wrote in November of this past year. He writes, and this is a piece he wrote in Salon.com. He writes in part, when some leading thinkers of the London School of Economics saw fascism take hold in the 1930s, Oxford history professor Ben Jackson said in a recent BBC interview that they, quote, argue that in those circumstances, the people with economic power in society, the property owners, are willing to cancel democracy, cancel civil liberties, and make deals with political organizations like the Nazis if it's guaranteed their economic interests. That analysis has an ominous ring to it now, as many tech industrialists swings behind President Donald Trump. And in this article, he talks about how the tech bros are lining up behind the president. Mentioned Amazon founder Jeff Bezos congratulating the president, how they are kowtowing to the president. And so Jeff Bezos, post-election, Mark Zuckerberg, we all know, are familiar with Elon Musk and his role in the administration early on in Trump 2, and so on. So you have these major players, Musk, Bezos, Zuckerberg, who rank, you know, first, third, and fourth, respectively, on the world's most wealthiest individuals, and how they are lining up. So these, as Norman Solomon writes, for amoral gazillionaires like Bezos and Musk, ingratiating themselves with Trump is a wise investment that's calculating to yield windfall returns. And after Election Day, another fascism scholar, Jason Stanley, offered a grim appraisal. He wrote, people who feel slighted materially or socially come to accept pathologies, racism, homophobia, misogyny, ethnic nationalism, and religious bigotry, which under conditions of greater equality, they would reject. And it is precisely those material conditions for a healthy, stable democracy that the United States lacks today. If anything, America has come to be singularly defined by its massive wealth inequality, a phenomenon that cannot but undermine social cohesion and breed resentment. And Norman Solomon observes that the threat of fascism in the United States is no longer conjectural. And he writes about how the Republican Party domination of all branches of government, you know, renders the U.S. into a one-party state. And we see how that plays out not only on the national scene, but also in the several states. So yeah, there's one party domination. Dominating the judicial, the legislative and executive branches, and all are overwhelming. And so the success, Norman Solomon writes, of Trump's political quest just continues on and on and on. And so where does that lead us? And before I go to a caller, let me conclude this article. He says, consider what Fred Brandman had to say. In the late 1960s, Fred was a humanitarian aid volunteer in Laos, where he discovered that his country was taking the lives of peasants there by the thousands. He assembled voices from the Plains of Jaws, a book with the subtitled Life Under an Air War, published in 1972. It included essays by Laotians, people living under long-term U.S. bombardment, along with drawings of children who depicted the horrors all around them. When I asked Fred to describe his experience in Laos, he said, at the age of 27, a moral abyss suddenly opened before me. I was shocked to the core of my being as I found myself interviewing Laotian peasants, among the most decent, human, and kind people on earth, who described living underground for years on end while they saw countless fellow villagers and family members burned alive by napalm, suffocated by 500-pound bombs, and shredded by anti-personnel bombs dropped by my country, the United States. Fred moved to Washington, where he worked with anti-war groups to lobby Congress and protest the inflicted mass carnage on Indochina. During the decades that followed, he kept working as a writer and activist to help change policy, stop wars, and counteract what he described as, quote, the effect of the biosphere of the interaction between global warming, biodiversity loss, water aquifer depletion, chemical contamination, and a wide variety of other new threats to the biospheric systems under which human lives depend. When I talked with Fred a few years before his death in 2014, he said, I find it hard to have much hope that this species will better itself in coming decades. But Fred went on, I have also reached a point in my self-inquiries where I came to dislike the whole notion of hope. For if I need to have hope to motivate me, what will I do when I see no rational reason for hope? If I can be hopeful, then I can also be hopeless. And I do not feel like feeling hopeless. He added, when I look more deeply at my own life, I noticed that my life was now and never has been built around hope. Laos was an example. I went there. I learned to love the peasants. The bombing shocked my psyche and soul to the core. And I responded, not because I was hopeful or hopeless, but because I was alive. He concludes, we are alive. Let makes the most of it, no matter how much hope we have. What we need most of all is not optimism, but determination. Norman Solomon, in November 2024. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I greet you. Let's hear, do you have hope? What gives you hope in this time of fascism? Let's go to our caller, Lenita. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. How are you?
I am well enough. How are you?
Do you have hope?
Well, I like what Norman Solomon said at the end of the article, you know, I'm alive, and that's good enough. I'm determined. I'm not sure what hope is.
Well, you know, I think hope is like a tide. It comes and goes. Mm-hmm. And when it goes, that's the time to tap into other people's joy and to reach out for help. Yes. I am always humbled by how kind people in Portland are. And I was born and raised here. Mm-hmm. And growing up, the kindness that strangers, other black folks, showed me helped compensate for the other stuff that black folks show you, that other human beings show you, the negative, the judgmental, the classism, the colorism, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the kindness that people have shown me here in Portland that I grew up with just touched me. And you have to think about those times when people have been kind to you to help compensate for the times that you're not so kind as you try to find some kind of emotional equilibrium. What gives me hope? People still fighting.
Yes.
Now, I am discouraged by how people, and it may be because it just seems to me that no one is speaking up enough.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Secretary of Defense gets rid of women who've risen through the armed forces only because they're women and he believes they should be in the kitchen, he gets rid of them and there's no stink, right?
Nice.
He gets rid of black generals and nobody cares. And we fire all these talented federal employees. There should be a bigger stink.
Yes.
And stinks are being made, but you want it to be of a larger magnitude.
Yes.
Just the dismantling of democracy. And then you see people coming out on No King's Day, on the very same day this threw himself a birthday party, which was the worst birthday party, which I was so happy for. That gave me hope. So
yes,
there are many things that give you hope among a sea of hopelessness. And look at our history. But you give me hope, Cecil. You show up on Mondays. You plug away even when you're not really that hopeful yourself.
Yes.
You dig what I'm saying?
I do. Thank you.
And someone else said, wants to say, can I put someone else on the line? She wants to talk about what gives her hope.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Hi, Cecil, it's Nia.
Hi, Nia. How are you? Oh, it's the joy to hear your voice.
How are you?
I am joyful hearing your voice.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So what a great topic on a Monday morning. You know, what gives us hope so we could start the week early? And I agree with your other caller, who happens to be my mom, that I do believe that there is the divine inspiration in all of us that helps us connect and move forward. But personally, for me, it's my faith, you know, that gives me hope. Just knowing that when I've gone through tough times before, my faith was there to hold me up, lift me up. And there's no reason, no logical reason why I would believe that it won't continue to do that. It did it before, we'll do it again. And so that's what I wake up every morning, just thankful that I woke up, thinking of all the people who didn't, and just knowing that I can move forward in love and faith and, you know, put my trust in something bigger than myself.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Nia, for sharing those thoughts and for reminding us of hope. And thank you for being purposeful this morning. Thank you, Nia.
Thank you, Cecil. Great show, and I can't wait to see you again in person.
Okay, take care. Thank you so much. And those were some listeners, Nia and Lenita, talking about what gives them hope. What gives you hope? Do you have hope? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's hear some words of wisdom from our next caller, Edie. Good morning.
It's always a good morning to hear your voice and to hear the love and the integrity and the courage that you express. What gives me hope, people like you, Kabu, what gives me hope is the people that I've known the last 42 or so years on the street and in the public hearing rooms and at different meetings. Specifically, this Saturday from 12 to 4, 5051 that brought us the No Kings rally is having Rage Against the Regime, starting at 12 o'clock at the Battleship Oregon Memorial on NATO, just a bit south of the Saudi market. There'll be a rally. There'll be a march. All the different organizations that are involved with that who are working cooperatively, nonviolently, respectfully, and dealing with their own internalized racism, classism, ableism, et cetera, to permeate and to help and include all people. What gives me hope is the people who are recognizing that you cannot have a safe environment without having social, racial, justice and democracy and police accountability. What gives me hope is all the people who are still resisting police accountability, and the Pacific Northwest Family Circle and DA for the People. Pacific Northwest Family Circle is composed of those who don't really want to be members, but they are because their loved ones are murdered by police in Oregon and Washington. What gives me hope is 350 PDX, Extinction Rebellion, Sierra Club, Columbia River Keeper, Mosquito Fleet, so many more that recognize that in order for us to have physical safety and economic safety, we need to have a safe, healthy climate.
Yes.
And we're trying to do everything we can to close down Venus, which is bringing in toxic oil bomb trains, explosives that could destroy two of our hospitals and all of the tank farms, where even one tank, storage tank, has over 100 times the TNT explosive power of the Hiroshima bomb, and trying to stop the clear cutting of a section from the place is going to have all these fire explosive toxic fumes, with the fire racing up the pathway along the PGE power lines that will be destroyed, to destroy then Northwest Hills and Southwest Portland. What gives me hope are the people who are creating trainings to decolonize your activism, to look at our internalized anti-Indigenous racism and our white fragility, and to build some courage in being honest and giving ourselves the empathy and compassion that our tortured ancestors in Europe didn't give for themselves and to the people where they tried to steal the land. What gives me hope is people working for realistic reparations for Indigenous and African American and other people brought over from Asia. What gives me hope is people working to require that there is Zoom and digital safe, secure meeting check-ins, application, and giving of documents so that ICE doesn't have to come to their homes and they don't have to go to ICE to be kidnapped. What gives me hope is the people who are working together, maybe using different tactics that I agree with or don't agree with, but with great heart and courage and persistence, trying to stop the horrific, horrific evils that are happening via ICE. What gives me hope is people who are working like with braver angels to cross the divide between the blue team and the red team, but to see that we're all humans and we have to work in this together, and the real enemy is not the other blue or red team, but that capitalism and that exploitation and that contempt.
Well, let me ask you, you began by sharing of an action that's coming up this week. Could you repeat that and where it will take place so that listeners can participate in actions that give them hope?
This is organized by the same people who had over 50,000 people coming to the NATO Parkway and take up Morrison Bridge and Hawthorne Bridge and all along NATO. The group is called 50501, because 50 states, 50 protests, one movement. Now, the local group, in many ways, is being careful to avoid some of the problems that we have seen nationwide and to do it better. But they are following the nationwide request that we get together Saturday, August 2nd. And it's all these little local communities, and then they may do it end there, or they may later join the big one that's going to start at 12 noon at the Oregon Battleship Memorial on NATO, which is near the Morrison Bridge exit and the fire station south of the Saturday Market.
Okay.
On NATO.
Excellent.
And then what gives me hope are the people like Jewish Voice for Peace every Monday through Thursday from 12 to 12:30 Portland time, being on a Zoom, talking about what we can do, and then giving us calls to action, lifting up voices, poetry, music, and solidarity around the world.
Hey, thank you so much for just sharing some of the things that give you hope and reminding us that in all of our communities there are people who are doing things, individuals and community groups, that are showing light and life around us. Thank you so much, Edie, for all you do and for the words that you've shared this morning. Thank you so much. And you are continuing to listen to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We had a couple of callers who responded to an article I read earlier about what gives you hope, from Nia and Lenita, who reminded us of the individuals who make changes in communities, to Edie, who reminded us of how people are organizing in their communities throughout the nation and indeed throughout the world. What gives you hope? Let's listen to our next caller who's been waiting. I believe it's Janet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a fabulous resource on all these amazing things that people are doing. We had a little discussion group way up the mountain here, and I'm kind of trying to do things locally.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a discussion meeting yesterday about making the impossible possible.
Mm.
And one of the things that really inspired me, despite the excruciating situation in the Middle East and Gaza and the genocide, was Poppy talking about it's going to take a while, but eventually, and the young podcasters was sharing a quote, which is pessimism of the intellect and optimism of the will. And the fact that we can really make ourselves responsible and reflect on our own behavior and what we can do, even from one person talking to another person, it's a big challenge. But this what I do has been part of the Buddhist movement for 40 years, that Tina Turner, Love, and Herbie Hancock kind of thing about propagating happiness and good vibes and love, peace, and good vibes. But I was sharing this with this young man up here by the Dollar General is way up towards Timberline now, which seems kind of bizarre. But he said, good riddance to bad thoughts and welcome our transformation. So in Buddhism, we don't look outside of ourselves for hope, but we have to really dig down and really will ourselves to reflect on the nature. And even in, I think in Islam, it's like the jihad really means pull out the weeds of negativity and strip the tarnish off the mirror, which is our heart,
yes,
so that we can reflect all the amazing, wonderful ways that we can contribute value to our environment by the way we live our lives. And so I really try not to be critical, although it's so easy to just like find all the bugaboos outside of ourselves.
Yes.
But to take the initiative to really put out some good vibes to people who are really struggling with some very disturbing, morbid programming, then sharing with others, I think, is really helpful, that you have this beautiful wave of inspiration and supportive kind of communication. And I can't thank you enough, Cecil.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all you're doing and reminding us wherever we are, we can create community and create change. So I'm so inspired.
The one thing is to really support the youth. I think it's really huge that we can pass the banner of conscientization, like they talk in Brazil in liberation theology, about letting the youth have the banner and encouraging them that we see the school's going to start up and kids can be out there on the campuses speaking truth to power, etc. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thank you for reminding us what you just said at the end in terms of passing or sharing the banner with younger generations. Let those people have their say and their stand. Let's move aside and let's hear more voices. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM, a community radio station where you continue to have voice and the will to speak freely and to speak to truth to power. I hope that you are a member of this community. If not, click on the donate button and become a member of KBOO, because we are as powerful as we are, and our voices depend on the voices of all. Thank you so much for being a member and being a supporter. And consider, if you're not presently a member, consider becoming a member. Thank you so much. And you are continuing to listen to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we began our discussion this morning by talking about what is hope. How do we have hope? What is it that moved us to create hope? And I'm reminded also by the Bishop of Washington, D.C., Miriam Budde, who many of you might recall, spoke to the nation, indeed the world, during the ceremonies around the inauguration of the president. And during that prayer service, addressed the president and indeed the nations by reminding us that we are called to be people of mercy and to show mercy. And she continued to receive backlash from the president and his supporters. But she reminds us again and again, and I read some of her writings about, she says, you know, I'm going back, reminding of our first caller, Nia, who talked about their faith. And Bishop Budde said, hopelessness is not an option. We have our North Star, and she's referring to people of faith. It's in that faith we go on. We are the ones now. For this hour, we are here. And certainly to remind, that reminds me of a remark that Janet mentioned just before she ended her conversation with this morning, by sharing that hope with others. We are the ones now. For this hour, we are here. Many people have had conversation, what would I do if I lived in those time? And again, we go back to times where fascism seemed so dominant in our society. And I suppose it is not a surprise, it's an observation I have, that the greatest generation, that generation which fought the rise of fascism 100 years ago in the world, whether and how it manifested itself in many countries as a result of conflict, and the need to say that there's a possibility to create a new way of being, a new way to have hope. And that is a challenge for all of us, and to recognize that we certainly did not live in Europe in the 1930s, but we are living in our society here in the 2020s, in the 2030s. And so what was called upon for that generation may be different from what is called upon for our generation, but each generation is called to do something new. But I think it's important to be mindful of that we are built on generations who did the work beforehand, and there is much we can learn that we can build on. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil Prescott, and let's hear from some other voices. Let's Let's hear from Santiago. And maybe, Santiago, do you have hope, or what gives you hope?
Oh, no, I definitely have hope. You know, it's, you know, that my hope, I mean, you know, I people call it, you know, it's called like revolutionary optimism. You know, it's like, you know, you understand that, you know, the world's in a bad place, but you have hope in the, but you have hope in the people, you know what I mean? Like you can see it right now. I think three things that are really kind of giving me a buzz right now is number one, the Epstein files. You know, Trump kind of painted himself into a corner, and he's into a corner now where he can't get out without like doing the thing he said he was going to do. Normally he can be like a greased up pig and wiggle his way out by redirecting, but even his own base is not letting him have this. And I think they're even starting to say like, oh, there might be an interdimensional alien being somewhere on whatever. And it's like, nah, we don't care about that. Just give us the Epstein files. You know what I mean? Like that's given me hope, because you know the Epstein files are they're a false form, but it is a form of class consciousness.
Okay.
You know, where it's understanding that, you know, the rich people play by a certain set of rules and the working class does not.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the conspiracy theories are not based in any sort of reality, it's interesting to see how a lot of his base is responding to him trying to wiggle his way out of this one.
Right.
Another thing that's given me hope is seeing how many people are, you know, at least in my local chapters with the groups that I run with socialist groups, how people are, you know, abandoning the Democratic Party, you know, and recognizing that, you know, the Democrats, you know, the Democrats have no interest in fixing what's going on because they're complicit in the system, and understanding that even the system isn't broken, it's working as it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And people are seeing that now, and that gives me a lot of hope, because it's the only way change has ever been made. It's not believing in the system, but understanding that the system is functioning for a select few and it needs to be destroyed. I find a lot of hope in that.
Yes.
And I find a lot of hope in just, I mean, really, you know, and I find a lot of hope in my daughter, you know, like if somebody made this post and said, you know, my daughter isn't a reflection of me. She's the evolution.
Mm.
And I see how she's growing and her compassion and her understanding of the world and her desire to do things for others. And it makes me feel good about, you know, now I don't even really want to call it a legacy, because she's not an extension of me.
Right.
But, you know, just to see the type of person that I'm raising, and to, you know, especially in lieu of, you know, losing, you know, my partner, her mother, just seeing how she's thriving despite all of that and learning how to grow.
Yes.
It makes me proud to be her dad. You know, I tell her all the time, you know, I'm so proud to be your dad.
Mm.
You know? So, amazing. Those are three things that give me a lot of hope.
Thank you so much for sharing and reminding us that for hope, we can, and for inspiration, it's all around us. Thank you so much, Santiago. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. We've been having a conversation about hope in a time of anxiety and in the times of worry, in a time, quite frankly, of fascism. We need signs of hope, signs in which people are either resisting, signs in which there are possibility. In our last, all of our callers have shared things that give them reasons for hope. Our last caller shared not only looking at the things on a mass scale in terms of changes that are being made and how people are confronting challenges and how people are resisting. But the last caller, as well as other callers, remind us that so much of it depends upon being able to share with one another and with generations that are rising, to share with the life of children, with our family, with our community, ways in which we can create or building a better and safer world. These are all important for us. And it's helpful for all of us to recognize that, as others have observed, that this is certainly not the first time that we've been in strange and difficult times. Indeed, that is, you know, for what it's worth, my observation, what life is all about. It's always difficult. It's always challenging. And the challenge is, how do we meet the things that we face each day? I think in part this is by reminding ourselves that, again, these are not new times. And there's so much we can learn from history. Again, I want to point you to an observation about those who are concerned about the attack and the deportations that are targeting foreign students here in the United States, and the removal of pro-Palestinian advocates, students, for example. A reminder, you know, that this is certainly nothing new. That the White House has cited legislation passed during the peak of the nation's Cold War hysteria, like the McCarran-Walter Act of 1952, which expanded the government deportation power. So what I'm saying, and in part as an observer of history, as an observer of immigration history, what we are witnessing now is nothing new. An observation of the U.S. Empire of Asian American Studies reveals that the United States is returning to its deportation process can find its roots in the 19th century as a nation moved to exercise federal control of immigration. And recall the influx of Chinese immigrants to the West Coast and the uproar that caused by it. And then, the racial otherness that happened, the Geary Act of 1892 requiring Chinese living in the U.S. to register with the federal government or face deportation. So you see, there's the more things change, the more things remain the same, that things happen in a cycle. And so these attempts of massive deportation, they're looking at U.S. immigration policy, certainly is not anything new. And in fact, we can learn things from our history about how we've treated immigrants in the past, how we resisted oppression in the past, and what things we can learn from, say, anti-radical, radical activism in the past, and what we can learn today. There's so much to learn, and when people want to throw up their hands and say there is no hope, well, to respond to the question that I asked earlier, among the things that gives me hope is the fact that we are, in fact, alive, and that we have the ability to make changes in our lives and in our world, not necessarily as fast and as frequent and as powerful as we want, but there is a possibility, the history of resistance, the history of people rising and standing for justice all around us. And so at a time when there is so much to give us despair, I would like to remind myself that as others have said, and I'll just repeat what Norman Solomon said earlier, we are alive. Let's make the most of it. No matter how much hope we have, what we need most or is not optimism, but determination. And so perhaps that is what I'm seeking. It's maybe optimism might be useful, might be helpful, but what I do know is that we need determination, because this work is ongoing. And as someone reminded us early on, that we need community, as Lenita reminded us, and to be reminded of and to be strengthened by those acts of, not only acts of kindness, but acts of justice, movements of kindness and movements of justice, which empower, which motivate us, which allow us to continue struggling on. In all our work, in all that we do, we need to be reminded that we are building something that takes a lot of effort, and that we need the community to strengthen, to support, and to guide us as we create a better world. It's certainly not a world that we want or we desire, but there are things we can do. There are ways that we can transform ourselves and indeed our community so that we are able, we are empowered to make changes in our community. So what gives us hope are things that people are doing. So in the few minutes we have left, I want to ask you, perhaps you can share examples of things that gives you hope. Early on, Edie called in, and they shared a list of activities, of communities that people are doing marvelous things. What are some of the communities? What are some of the actions that you are aware of in your community? And perhaps what you are doing to make change, as one caller observed earlier, he was reminded of the awesome responsibility they have of raising children, and what children are able to do with and for adults, and the importance of building community and of creating safe spaces, creating spaces where people can not only survive, but where they can thrive. What are some of your thoughts? What are examples of building hope, of if not hope, to have determination to continue on when things are just very difficult? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Opportunity for you to share and for you to share your wisdom. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. Let's go to our next caller, Tangent. Good morning, Tangent.
Hey, Brother Cecil. What Gaza needs now is food, sweet food. And I'll jump ahead.
Yeah.
Word, we don't need another summit. There's been peace talks and shuttle diplomacy enough to fly. Yeah. And I haven't finished it, but that's what I've been working on. There was a show, Pathways, on Sunday mornings, and last week he interviewed somebody who was a journalist but got really depressed about 10 years ago when Trump first got in now. But anyway, he decided to read what other people had done in other trying times, and he's put together a bunch of essays. I don't remember his name or the title of the book.
Oh, my gosh.
He was talking, he was making the difference between hope and faith. And I agree that I think faith is much stronger. Now, you might say faith in what? Well, I do have faith in things that are higher than myself, but one of those things is us, and I've seen us do things in the past, and I just have to have that faith that we will, as Bob Marley said, I won't sing it here, but, get up and stand up and for ourselves, and not against, just for us, all right?
For us,
Yeah, those are some thoughts.
The possibility that we are able to do something.
And one other thing, I just heard this thing about how they figured out how to get a camera, a spacecraft within 20 million miles of the sun, which has never been done before. It's like, and the temperatures are something like, 50 billion degrees. I don't know what it is, but they got with certain carbonized foam, 6 inches of this foam, reduced that temperature down to room temperature inside where the camera was.
So what I'm saying is whenever there's something really difficult, that just gets these, you know, engineers and stuff really amped up. And so what if we just said that there was this planet out there somewhere that had peace, love, and justice abundant, right?
Yes.
That maybe we could start looking for that in engineer. I joked with Paul Bowman a few years ago about we should engineer peace, you know? If we engineered it, it's not like some little pie in the sky, you know, wish. If we were...
You know, so perhaps...
So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, so perhaps we should make peace profitable and some...
Well, it is. That's the thing. Uh-huh. It is. You look at a war zone, how profitable is that? Except for, the developers are coming to... But yes, no, obviously peace works. Yeah. And that's what most of us want. Most of us practice in our lives. It's the leaders that are... again, they're not world leaders. They're world followers. They follow the world. They don't follow Mother Earth. Okay, see, so I'm at work here. I'm going to let you go.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Tangent, and for reminding us that we can make the change. We can be the leaders. We can be the inspiration. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and thank you all so much for joining. I want to thank our callers. Our last caller, Tangent, reminded us that, we can make a difference. And wherever we are, there's the possibility of change, and change is possible. So when you are at moments of despair, what are things that are able to redirect you, if need be, to move beyond that. This despair, maybe just, opening your eyes to the reality around you. And once you are able to see things as they are, then perhaps, meaningful change or action can begin to take place. So when there is so much hopelessness around us, let us look more deeply at our own lives. As Norman Solomon, friend, observed, maybe hope, we shouldn't look for hope. The whole notion of hope. If I need to have hope to motivate me, what will I do when I see no rational reason to hope? If I can be hopeful, then I can also be hopeless, and I do not like feeling hopeless. So what we need is not hope, but determination. And I think that manifests itself by things we do and how we act. Callers reminded us repeatedly this morning, whether it was from Janet, who talked about gathering people there on the mountain and talking about the world as it is, whether it was Edie reminding us of people gathering in the community to make action or change, whether it was and Santiago reminding us of the importance of raising their daughter. All of these are signs and reminders that we are called to be. And who we are and how we are called to be may differ with each one of us. The walk, each walk is important, and it can make a difference. So when all about you seem hopeless and you are in the midst of despair, remind yourself that we are influenced by the same pressures as everyone else, and we find ourselves failing time and time again, but we are reminded that if we are honest with ourselves, that we can root ourselves in our act and all that we are, in acts of mercy, in acts of dignity, in acts of honesty, and indeed acts of humility, which, like water in the desert, Bishop Buddy reminds us, is for parched soil souls. There are so many people around us and in our society which are clamoring for something to give reason to be. And I think we, each one of us, called to be that for ourselves and for those around us. So in a time of so much fear and danger, and, you know, I believe it was Tangent who reminded us, you know, in a song of the crisis that is manifesting itself right now at the genocide in Gaza. There is so much terror and horror all around us, and that we are responsible for. And so we must continue the work, as I believe it was Edie reminded us of people who just gathering, who on a call during the day, each day, reminding themselves of the actions they can take and what they are doing. Those might seem simple tasks, may seem overwhelming, but those are tasks that are important. So whether you are making sure that you are on a phone call or a Zoom call, where you are in community with those who are doing important work, that's important. Whether it is preparing your child for a play date at the neighborhood park, that is important. Whether it is gathering with your community to petition your legislators, that is important, community. In all these things, I think it is a sign, a reminder of who we are, that we are better when we are inspired by the actions of others, which is rooted in compassion, and yes, I'll use that word, hope, that enable us to do those things which enable us to go beyond. Among the greatest challenge that we face as a nation is this culture of contempt, the normalization of hate speech, and indeed actions which encourages violence. There is another way that we are called to be and called to do. And so, my friends, when there is so much to discourage us, let us remind ourselves there is so much that can give us, there's that, use that H word again, there's much that can give us hope. And if we are unable to find hope, let us find determination. Let us remind ourselves of those times, of those actions, when we were able to do things we did not believe was possible, when change became a reality. Friends, there is much to do, and much that can discourage us. At the same time, there is much that can encourage us. And for me and for all of us, let us look beyond those things which highlight our differences, which highlight the dangers we are in, and let us look at the possibilities of what we can create. We can rise to the moment, rise to this moment. We can make a change. Let's see what are those changes we can make. Each one of us is called. Each one of us is a sign of possibility. And there is so much more. Friends, thank you so much for sharing this hour with us. Thank you for your determination to continue to do the good work. As John Lewis and others remind us, there is so much work to do, and that we are called to create, get into good trouble. Let us continue that work. Let us continue to nurture and support one another, and continue to be guides and signs of hope and love and justice for all around us. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you so much for being a part of this community. Stay tuned to more on your community radio station, KBOO. Thank you so much, and I will join you next time.
tuned to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO